It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, Ryan, the sack numbers don't necessarily pop off the page with Dio. What is it that you're projecting or hoping for or seeing in him in terms of being that guy opposite of Montez Sweat?
Yeah, if you watch the tape, you understand how disruptive he can be. And again, both inside and outside. And I also believe, you know, he's 25. He's played a few years in the league. I honestly, and this goes into our collaboration and working well in terms of front office and coaching staff. We believe that there's even more room to grow for him to continue to get better. I think it's really cool he gets to come here and play for Jeremy, our defensive line coach, who, you know, they work together well there in Vanderbilt as well. So.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
That was Ryan Poles talking about Dio Odingbo, the new Bears pass rusher. I'm loath to even give him a position, Speegs, because
yeah,
I don't think...
I was going to quarrel with pass rusher even, but expound, because he's defensive end who can stop the run and can move around, but pass rusher, he continues.
Yeah, I like calling him just the pass rusher instead of like a defensive end or a defensive tackle. Uh-huh. I just think that he's going to be lined up in different places, and even there... You have Ryan Poles talking about, well, you know, he can kick down inside too. And I think that it opens up a lot of opportunities. Like when I had the vision of when we were talking about Jervon Dexter and him playing some outside, I think people thought I meant like wide nine. Like I'm not talking about him being a nine or a seven. I'm talking about him being a five. And hearing Clay Harbor today on with the midday show was really great. Because Clay has played on offensive lines. He's had to block five techniques as a tight end. This was really great. I know people give Clay a lot of grief because he was on The Bachelorette and all of this stuff. The guy has a Super Bowl ring. The guy played with Tom Brady, and he played for, a decade in the league at tight end. Speaks, check this out. This is Clay Harbor doing a breakdown on Dio Odingbo after getting a call from, or a text from, Dio's old DC.
So first I'll start off with the text, and I texted Gus Bradley, who was the defensive coordinator for the Indianapolis Colts with Dio Odingbo for 2 years. I just asked him, hey coach, so I was wondering if you had a couple words on Dio Odingbo. We're doing a story on him for the Chicago Sports Network. And it says, Claymaker, unbelievable to see you. Unbelievable to hear from you.
Really, I need to see the text right now. Show me the text.
Claymaker. He goes, he is an unbelievable person, a great pro, tremendous work ethic, and tough, both physically and mentally. I can't say enough good words about him as a person and a player. So that is Gus Bradley talking about Dayo Odangbo. And I'll show you this at break. I got to keep my notes on me for now. But Dayo Odangbo, I like the signing. I think it's a boom or bust signing. He is a big guy. Dennis Allen obviously likes that. We've talked about that. He's got the arm length. He's got the size. I'm not sure he's going to get the pressure on the quarterback that you want, but he is a guy that can hold down the point. You're not going to push him outside in his own read. And with the type of defense that Dennis Allen likes to run, he needs those stout defensive ends in his system.
Plus, couldn't he be a guy that, with Dennis Allen, the way he likes to deploy players, who moves him around a little bit to get him in the best position to succeed,
absolutely,
as opposed to just having him in one spot?
Mm-hmm. He's a guy that you can move inside to. You got your NASCAR packages is what they call it now, but you know, back in the day, they move guys into a 5 technique. You can move him down into a 3 technique. He's a guy that can move all around the formation. He actually had more sacks from a 3 technique than he did from outside last year in his career. This guy's really good from inside. And I think you could do a lot of things with him and like a guy like Jervon Dexter, because Dexter is a guy I think you could see move around with Dennis Allen a little bit out to the 5 instead of just a 3 technique. Maybe he's a 6 or a 7. You could play him a little out wide. And Dexter's one of the guys I wanted to talk about because I think he's one of the most important defensive linemen on the Bears that need to take a step. Because you guys saw it. He took a step last year, but he just wasn't consistent. He had the 5 sacks, right? 24th in pressures for an interior defender with 40, 43 hurries, which was 19th, and 48th in pass rush win percentage for an interior position. But as a second round pick, if he can become more dependable and more consistent, he could be a real weapon. He's got a great skill set. The way he's got the wiggle, he's got like that AI crossover. And he's strong and powerful. It's like J.J. Watt. I always talk about him because he was a guy, people think he was good because he was just this big, strong bull rusher. No, you fire off at that guy, he is swim moving you. He is giving you a wiggle.
He'll make you miss.
He's making you miss. He's going to cross you over, and you're going to fall down, and he's going to be in the backfield. Gervon Dexter's got some of that. So if he can become consistent with his strength and his elusiveness, he could be a real player.
What do you hear there, Speaks?
I hear lots of good stuff. I hear lots of good homework done by Clay Harbor. I hear a guy who's embracing his television role as an analyst, and I'm glad we played it. I'm glad I'm listening to it with some focus. I hear, first of all, for the listeners, just in case anybody needs it, the 3 technique is the defensive lineman that shoots that gap right between the center and the guard, and then it gets wider from there. When you
it's
say the 5,
more yes. type of situation.
But when we say the 5, and then the 7, and then the 9, we'll talk about the wide 9 that somebody lined up on the D line way outside the tight end. Just for a little shorthand.
Which gap speaks? Which gap does a 3 technique shoot?
It's the A gaps.
You know a lot more of them the longer you're in the league. A lot of coaches do a lot of different things.
A lot of coaches do a lot of different things.
That's my own fault. I opened up an entire
I wasn't trying to quiz you. I was just trying to bring back the less thing.
I understand.
It's a newer type.
But Lawrence, something he says early, lots of good numbers in there about Dexter and good info about Dayo getting
boomer bust signing.
I don't necessarily agree with that, because I don't, and this is where I quarrel with what you said as a pass rusher. He and Clay said this. He said stout defensive end, because that's right. Because what Dennis Allen's defense is about, sometimes you just got to absorb as a defensive end in a Dennis Allen defense, and the pass rush is going to come from the outside of you or the inside of you, from linebackers, from nickels, from corners, even from other D linemen. Sometimes you might be the guy swallowing up a double team as a defensive end, and that's okay. You're getting something done in Dennis Allen's defense, and Dayo will be great at that. I don't know what the pressures will be, and I don't think I'll call him a bust if the quarterback pressures are not there. That's my point.
The idea of not losing ground on a play, like the being stout at the defensive end spot, not losing ground on a particular play, I do want to see him be a part of the pass rush game, though. Like, I don't want him to just be the, here's the guy who sets the edge. Of course, that is important. Mm-hmm. But I also want to see him be able to be effective with a combination of players. And that's what excites me, is the fact that you can kick him inside and you feel good about it. And you could play around with formations, which Dennis Allen loves to do. I like that he is a bit of a Swiss Army knife. I just want him to be an effective Swiss Army knife.
I totally understand what you're saying. But you know how this goes. Like, a lot of times you look at numbers after the fact, or we look at numbers after the fact, and we're like, oh, that was good or that wasn't. It's not a matter of gaming the system to get him the numbers. It's using him in all the different ways, and hopefully the numbers come with it. Like, hopefully the production comes with it. It's going to be a really good piece to use as part of your D-line rotation. Especially if you're moving him in and moving Dexter out and then adding something with some pure speed off the edge in this draft, baby, let's go. That feels like that's the piece that's missing in terms of the D-line rotation to me still.
And adding different bodies and, you know, like the when I think of a NASCAR alignment, I think of the Strahan Giants. And what they used to be able to do,
how they Justin could, Tuck inside too.
Yeah, like you can have a lot of fun and you can create some mismatches out of that. So we talked with Alex Brown about that as it pertains to Jervon Dexter, and you heard Clay get kind of breaking down how it can work. And I think initially Alex didn't like the idea, and he talked himself, I think, into it making a lot of sense to move Jervon Dexter and Dio Odingbo around to create a bad matchup for an offense. I'm wondering, does it make any sense at all to ask Dexter to maybe move outside a little bit?
To defensive end? No.
Okay,
no.
I just wanted to play around with it because I know that he's athletic and it's a little bit of a different thing that he was doing as a five instead of a three technique, what they're asking him to do here.
Well, I wasn't laughing at your idea. I was laughing at the defensive end himself. I was laughing at it. His Not tone.
It's just a solid defense. So I'll say this. Depending on what the DC runs, what Allen runs, it depends on what he does. So when I was down in New Orleans and they had Will Smith playing right end and I was playing left end, well, left end isn't the traditional left end that I always played. I was playing inside eye of the tackle. Now, if they're going to put him there, then I think he can play that. But if we're talking about him being outside of the tackle, I don't want him there. I don't think you get the most out of his talent having him outside of the tackle. If you're going to play him in an inside eye of the tackle where he's sometimes he'll get double team, or he almost forced a double team or forced that tackle to kind of hold off from just jumping outside to whoever you got blitzing on the outside, and he's rushing on the guard, kind of like a wide three technique almost. If that's where he's going to play, then sure. But I'm not sure what Allen's going to do yet, so I'm anxious to see. I think he is a very talented player. I think when you're talking about talented players, you get the most out of players depending on where you put them. When Urlacher was at Sam linebacker, he still was a talented player, but you weren't getting anything out of him. Now you put him at middle linebacker, and okay, now he's 54.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah, man. I love it. Yeah, and he did talk himself into it in the middle of that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, on Friday, Lawrence, Wani was great in talking about Dennis Allen's D-line. And we'll
Wait,
get another
was that,
chance.
Was that when I was at Rick Camp's wedding?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which I believe I only referenced five times. At least I heard five in the open. I didn't hear 14, you know, as self-reported. But, you were at Rick Camp's wedding, and Dave Wanstead was on the show and was really good talking about the D-line. And I'm looking forward to it. Dennis Allen is such a much more creative defensive blitzer and schemer than Matt Eberflus. Eberflus is a good defensive coordinator and a solid D coach, but we know he had to get outside of his comfort zone to become aggressive as a blitz caller. That's not Dennis Allen, man. Dennis Allen is aggressive as a blitz caller, and he's aggressive as a designer in terms of what kind of schemes he sets up in, as opposed to the way Matt sets up. I'm really looking forward to it.
I was thinking about this morning, as, you know, I'm looking at mock drafts and thinking about where the Bears are, it's really nice that we're not in a position as a city to be panicked about the draft. Because I think that there would have been reason to had free agency not gone so well.
Uh-huh.
If the Bears would not have addressed needs through trades and through free agency to make their lines better overall. And I kept looking at the mock drafts and hearing people talk about, well, you know, tight end might be in play for the Bears at number 10. And being like, yeah, they're not in a panic. Here's something that got me hyped. Mike Tannenbaum this morning was saying how he doesn't think that Abdul Carter is a top 5 pick.
And oh, I was beautiful.
Like, yeah, that's great. That's great. I hope people are listening. So he is available in a place where Ryan Poles can more easily trade up to get him.
Yeah, oh my God, because that's the dream. When we're talking about the D-line and the rotation, that's the guy that's coming to mind. And then you start thinking about Mike Green and multiple assaults and denials that are awkward. But like that kind of speedy edge rusher. Yeah, the dream would be Abdul Carter falling down. Now, I hear you about the draft, man. There's no panic. There's a wide array of positions. I thought you and I had it dialed in really nicely. When we talked about this, I don't know, maybe it was last week or 10 days ago about the number of different positions. Like, we'd all be cool with a left tackle. Everybody'd be cool with that, right? If they went that way with their first pick.
We'd all be good with a defensive end.
We'd all be good with a defensive end. I think we'd all be good with a tight end.
Yep.
If Tyler Warren is there and you go get Tyler Warren, like, you know, and you got the next Brock Bowers to pair with Cole Kmet, let's go. I think we're all good with that. Safety, like a badass safety. I'm certainly good with that. You're good with that, right?
Very much so.
You know, the one that I don't want, that everybody else is a little more open to, and my flag is planted and I'll stay right there, is running back. I don't think Genty is good enough and special enough to use that first round pick. And with all due respect to Jahmyr Gibbs and all due respect to Barkley and everything, I think the difference between Genty and the third or fifth best running back in this draft is not vast enough to do that with your first round pick. And that's the way I feel, and that's the way I'll feel the morning after they do it, if they do it.
What,
and maybe I'll get proven stupid.
What if I said to you they pick him at 13 after acquiring a pick to trade down? Does that feel better?
What do they get? They get a 3 or something like that?
Yeah, let's call it a 3.
Let's give another 3 in this particular draft.
A 2 in next year's draft or a 3 in this year's draft. Let's say that they do that to move 3 spaces down and then they take Genty.
More palatable, but it still kind of holds. It depends who else is there. If I want a speed rush D end or a lockdown left tackle, man, with that first pick. That's really what I want. And it's hard to get, but with these quarterbacks, I mean, like, it's hard to get, but you got more of a chance to get that. I'll feel a little bit better about it, but my overall point will still feel the same.
Let's talk some buckets, man. Let's talk some college basketball. I ran across some funny stuff from Alex Dragovich, and then I realized, oh, yeah, that's the guy that played at Notre Dame.
So it's not just buckets, it's stand-up comedy.
Yeah, I had no idea that this is what he did with his post-playing career. And so Shane was like, yeah, I knew that guy when I was living down in South Bend. So he got him on the show. And we're going to talk to him about the tournament and comedy next here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
You guys are friends of the program, man. I can never turn y'all down.
I know that's right. That's Stacey King.
The friends of the program are my friends, and they are friends for life.
Afternoons on The Score.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Because I'm tall, my friend asked me recently, he asked me if dunking was better than sex. And I was like, I don't know. I never cried after dunking. I never regretted a dunk. Like, I've never dunked and been like, is this who you want to be? You know? Hey, this guy, dude. Look in the mirror, you piece of I've never walked home from a dunk like... not telling anyone about this. This one's between me and God.
Open Dragovich three. Yes! They lead the top-ranked team in the country by 11. Grant on over to Dragovich. Open three. Got it! 35-17. Notre Dame leads the top-ranked team in America by 18.
This is one of his best efforts at Notre Dame. As number one goes down, Syracuse undefeated no more.
How about having that on your resume of knocking down number one Jim Boeheim-led Syracuse as a player? And now you're getting laughs as a stand-up comedian. I was scrolling while watching tournament games, and clearly my phone picked up I was watching college basketball, and then I ended up in a Alex Dragovich like rabbit hole, and I was like, wait a minute, like that name sounds really familiar to me. And then, Spiegs, I realized it sounded familiar because in 2011, I called a game with Alex Dragovich in it because Notre Dame was beating the snot out of DePaul. And I was calling that game at the Joyce Center. And I was like, wait, is this the same guy? And it is the same guy. And I couldn't be happier that he's got time to join us here on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Alex Dragovich, thank you so much for joining us here on the Spiegel and Holmes Show.
Thanks for having me, guys. There's a lot of misses in my career, too. And I'm glad you didn't include those in the reel there. So appreciate it, man. This is cool.
Yeah, I love how the algorithm just delivered you to Lawrence. And then Lawrence delivered you to the group chat. And yeah. Our producer was like, oh, yeah, I know Alex. Shane's like, oh, yeah, I know Alex. And like me and Tanny, who are comedy people, are like scrolling through your IG. Like this was... This was bound to happen that we would get a hold of you here. How did the pivot from like really good college basketball player to stand up comic happen, and like where did that start essentially?
Really good, again a stretch. I have to point that out. But yeah, you know,
decent.
It was awesome to play at that level. But then I was always kind of into it. I did a little bit when I was at BC. I got up at a couple of open mics, but I was always kind of interested in it. And then I just kind of, when I moved back to Chicago, I just started. There's that history of comedy. It's a great place to start. So
do you think that because you were on a giant stage playing at the highest level of college basketball, that it may have taken away some of the fright, or is it more fright because now, instead of being out there with your brothers, you're out there by yourself trying to make a room full of people laugh?
I think, yeah, like preparing for like a big set kind of, I understood how to deal with some pressure a little bit, but also like going from playing at that level to like open mics in Chicago, some people like recognize me and they're like, what are you doing in this basement bar with these lunatics? So it was a weird transition in a few ways, you know.
I saw your t-shirt in one of the Instagram clips. You're wearing an Old Town Ale House t-shirt one of those. Yes. And so like you talk about the Chicago comedy scene, that's on North Ave, right around the corner from Second City. And that's like, you know, it's been an improv and writer hangout. I think the paintings on the wall are like Royko and Ebert and I don't know who else, but like, so were you hanging around with improv people or stand up people when you say the comedy scene?
Yeah, so Zany's is right next door. Zany's, yep. Comedy Club is across the street from Second City. So I was on that corner doing stand-up or not quite often. I kind of came up at Zany's, and if I wasn't doing shows, I was hanging out there watching. And yeah, that is kind of, you can feel the history of like the old Second City folks, and especially at the Ale House. It's kind of like where comics go to the wee hours of the night, and it's kind of our big hang. So yeah, that was a great time for sure.
How many of your teammates know that you do this, and how many have come to see you perform?
A decent amount. It was cool. Like a lot, you know, if I'm ever in Boston, BC guys will come. I remember one of my first times like doing it in Chicago. I remember like Ryan Ayers came through, Hill is Land, Ebra Midas, Falls. Jordan Cornett has seen me like two or three times now. He's been really supportive. It's cool. The way with, you know, with Bray, Coach Bray being there for a while, we have like a long, like everyone's kind of tight with each other, you know, and like through his tenure. So guys have been really supportive. I don't think any of them were surprised when I started doing it.
Why not?
I don't know. I think I was always, I was always joking around a little bit. Ben Hansbrough kind of had a problem with how much I was joking around. He was really serious. Ben Hansbrough would be like, hey, Drago, you got to sharpen up a little bit. And that's a nice way of putting it. But he was, you know, he was a Hansbrough, man. He's a tough dude. So I think, you know, with the way he handled himself, he was like, who's this guy? You know?
Yeah, we're talking to Alex Dragovich, who played at Notre Dame in BC and is now doing stand-up comedy, and it's really good. And yeah, so Tyler Hansbrough's little brother, not a fan of
the play-play.
Yeah, of the play-play on the court. I can imagine that, yeah.
No, man, that dude was, he was ready to rock, like, the night before the game. Like, he was not, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was, like, not having it in any capacity. So it was good to learn from. Like, you need vets like that, you know? You need guys. But I just always had it a little, I was always joking around a little bit, and some guys thought it was cool. Some guys were, you know, not as cool with it, I think.
But, like, sports history is littered with the need for the tension breaker. I mean, you got a role to play on a team. Like, right? I mean, like, you're like the pitching coach going out there and just getting somebody laughing. So, I mean, there must be some people who have benefited from that on your teams.
Yeah, I try to think, like, I don't think I was as I think it was more like, you know, maybe before games or like, you know, on their like road trips or something like that. But yeah, I think I served a role a little bit. I think I helped out, but I think ultimately they wish I played a little more defense than anything. if you gave my teammates one wish, it probably wouldn't have been like more jokes from Alex. It would have been a couple other things, you know.
Yeah, they were great guys.
They're more
rotations, right. Fewer jokes.
Yeah, let's ice that screen roll instead of your hot five together.
Yeah, how do you watch your man on the ball and stop making jokes out here? Yeah, that's kind of true.
So compare and contrast, who is the most famous basketball player or coach that you interacted with versus the most famous comedy person that you've interacted with?
Oh, interesting question. Is that like I played against?
Sure. It can be you played against, sure. Maybe you ran into him in a tournament setting or whatever.
I mean, I think I was out there for a few minutes, like when we played against like Kemba Walker was out there on UConn.
Damn.
And
Kemba used to give people fits.
Oh, God. Yeah, I want to shout out. I mean, I'm like decently tight with some of the Chicago guys. Like I would talk to like Evan Turner every now and then. He was always cool to me. I did a tour with Theo Von a couple years ago. I did a Midwest run with him. He's a bigger comic now. So I got to open for him on that. So yeah, it's I've gotten to be around some pretty like on both ends. I've gotten to be around some pretty successful folks, I think.
So do you still ball, and do you ball with comics? Do you play ball with comics? Because I find myself thinking about Gary Shandling had like a legendary hoops game at an outdoor court on his property in LA, right? And like all the comedy people and producers used to go there, and I'm sure they'd make deals and develop shows at timeouts. So this could be a lane for you if you're not doing it yet.
No, I've been trying to get back into it. I never thought I'd be this guy, but I have like a shoulder thing right now. I'm like at that age. You never think it's coming. You never think it's coming, but like I'm the guy who's like I separate it like every other time I play. And I think when I was younger, I was always like, what do you mean your shoulder, like your knee? But now, you know, you hit your 30s and it's just like you sleep the wrong way and like you can like pull something. So I'm legitimately like, I've been corresponding with a chiropractor and I'm trying to get my shoulder back so I can, because there's comics that play out here. And I think that's my goal this summer, is to get back into it regularly.
Did you ever have any sort of basketball interaction with someone in comedy where they didn't realize that you were an actual basketball player?
Yeah, I think sometimes it comes up. Other comics will just come up to me like in a green room or something like that. And they'll be like, they're like, dude, I Googled you. And none, like, your comedy stuff comes up way later than you played basketball. It's a very, people find out at some point. I always thought it was kind of lame to like to try to bring up, you know. It's always kind of like I try not to talk about it. Obviously on stage I've got stuff about it, but it's weird to
lead
to try to
with
slip
it.
That in.
Yeah, well, you know,
yeah,
you're
you're
6'6", so it's bound to come up at some point. I loved the bit about your feelings about all men under 5'6". Like, I think that's, it's a little, could you share that? Could you share this theory about all men under 5'6"?
The joke is, I think all guys under 5'6" should get a Make-A-Wish, which I don't actually believe, but but that's, you know, that isn't the joke, and I didn't know if I could say that on the air.
Yeah, no, you're good. You're good.
You know, in a comedy club setting, it's a little bit more okay to say.
Oh no, I think you're good. I think you're good. It's like you feel bad. You genuinely feel bad for dudes under 5'6".
You know, they need a leg up. They need the help. They need as much help as they can get. And I'm here for the Short Kings. I'm an ally. I'm a Short King ally. So I didn't know what I could say or not say on this. So I'm glad you guys started out with the sex joke, and that was pretty That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was funny.
It's pretty funny. So wait, did you grow up listening to The Score? Because you grew up here.
Well, I remember, yeah, like I specifically high school, like Waddle and Sylvie, for sure. Like I'd be in the car with, you know.
You can't say that, Alex. That's the other station. You can't say that.
The other station, man. That's the other station.
Oh, sorry about that, guys. I apologize.
No, that's good, man.
He meant Lawrence, North and Jiggett.
Now, Lawrence, let's rattle off some Chicago comics that are former basketball players that we like more than Alex. Let's rattle some off. I can't think of
Hannibal
that's
Burris.
Fair. I mean, no, there's a thousand of them. I'm sorry, guys. I missed on that one.
Alex, you're fine. Don't worry about it. I went to a DePaul game with Sylvie a couple weeks ago, so we good over here, man.
Yeah. And okay. Waddle's got a shoulder thing, too. So yeah,
well,
I'm
that's because
sure
he was going over the middle all the time, yeah. And he was playing football and all that stuff.
Man, so did you make use? I wonder what would you do with the transfer portal? If you were a college hooper right now, if you're at Notre Dame and you were desired, and all these different schools were options, I mean, my goodness, don't you feel like you're kind of a decade late in terms of that opportunity?
I talked to my friend Daniel Poneman, who's a sports agent right now, Chicago guy, and he said like I could actually transferring now from Notre Dame, I could actually get a pretty good check. And I do feel like I missed out a little bit. I talk with some of my old teammates about that. It's way more money than I even thought the kids were getting. You thought it'd be like, oh, it'd be like 80 or 90. And like some of these kids are getting $250,000 at 19 years old. So yeah, I'm not happy.
So I'm guessing when you saw the feature of the McNeese manager this weekend also having giant NIL money, including Buffalo Wild Wings, you're going, hey, what the hell is going on here? I was born too soon.
Yeah, like I mean, I could easily have done a car dealership ad, put me, you know, I would have nailed that. You know, just like put me on, I would have, what, vitamins, a protein powder. Yeah. I would have crushed it.
That McNeese manager is under 5'6", too, so maybe that was his wish, is just to get an NIL deal.
Well, now he's got one.
He deserves everything he gets, okay? he doesn't, we can't knock that.
No.
He's had a rough go. He deserves free B-dubs for life.
Everyone does. Alex, we really appreciate your time, man. Thanks so much. Keep up the great work on the comedy end. And the next time you're back in town, come hang out.
That's really cool, man. I really appreciate it. I'll probably be coming back to Zany's over the holidays. I'll reach out to you guys, man.
I love it.
Please do it. Please
Alex
do it.
Dragovich, check out his comedy, man. He's so funny, and especially with all of the different parallels he can draw from his life playing basketball. This time of year, you are going to enjoy it. Big thank you to him for jumping on and hanging out on the show.
At the top of the hour here on Spiegel & Holmes on The Score, Jason Leisure will join us to talk Bears, and we'll talk that draft that we were just discussing and some other stuff. But Lawrence, I do believe that it might be the worst television show I have ever seen.
Oh, no.
It crossed into my sphere, and I need help processing it. I need you guys to help me with that.
So let me just guess. After your trip to Beverly, you started watching stuff on BET, and now you're just going to rip apart
no,
a black show.
I would not dare. I would not dare. I'd loved my time at Toast It Is,
okay,
by the way.
All right. I just wanted to steady myself for what it was that we were going to hear.
Speaks did say he wanted Gary Owen in the next hour.
Yes, you got to get him on.
No, if you haven't run across it yet, you're going to want to after we discuss it.
All right.
Tyler Perry tomorrow noon.
Sweet. I love that. Oh, yeah. Tomorrow we are hosting Middays because we've got to catch flights and get to Las Vegas for our shows at Circa on Thursday and Friday. So don't be surprised and don't be thrown off that's what's going on. It's nothing other than a travel schedule logistical thing.
Oh, yeah. It's a good point. Yeah. People might freak out. And the noon slot unavailable for Tyler Perry tomorrow because Joe Buck is going to join us tomorrow at noon.
They're
going to
be on together.
Medea, 1 p.m. tomorrow.
Good. Back after this on The Score.
Spiegel & Holmes.
Bob Costas.
Matt, thank you very much. And Lawrence, stop dominating the conversation the way you have over the last several minutes, really.
Afternoons on the Score.
Yeah, you spoiled a very key element for me. Lawrence Holmes and me, Matt Spiegel, the Spiegel and Holmes Show on 670 The Score. So last night, while waiting for the Bulls to come on, was hanging out with my wife as she was bouncing around some Netflix shows. And I had a book out. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of men out there, a lot of our listeners out there, you know, anybody. You can deal with this moment and relate to this moment where your partner is just kind of floating around watching random stuff and you're sort of paying attention, sort of not. And at one point I looked up, Lawrence, and I said, "What is this?" And I joined her then in what ended up being an exercise in hate watching royalty, because Meghan Markle's new show, Meghan, the Duchess of Sussex, her new lifestyle show called With Love, Meghan, where she is trying to be something between a Martha Stewart and a Rachel Ray, is the most vapid, empty, narcissistic, empty-headed television that I've ever sat there and tried to endure. It is unbelievably awful.
I've seen a couple clips of it on socials. I'm not interested in the royals for a lot of reasons. I always have found myself annoyed by people who are, and I have.
Yeah, George Brett, Billy Butler, needs them?
Look.
Alcides Escobar.
Hey.
Lord.
Joe Randa. I mean, come on. There's a lot of them that are annoying. That's for sure.
There was a while where it was an interesting story, but then it ends up, you really end up finding out just how empty they are. But just aside from their backstory, she is so horrific at television. Like, she is so ungodly boring, Lawrence. The things they chose to leave in from an editing perspective, she goes to the fridge and she's like, "Now I'm going to get the bacon." And then they show her grabbing the bacon and coming back because there's no personality. She has absolutely nothing to say. I don't know who made her think that she is remotely qualified to do absolutely any of this.
Well, she had something to say to Mindy Kaling when she referred to her as her old name.
That's right.
Dude, that moment is crazy. I guess, yeah, so that's been viral, right? I haven't seen that.
That's bled through to a lot of the comedy podcasts I listen to. They're talking about the show a lot.
I saw that in real time as it happens. Like, oh, she just snapped on her friend for daring to call her by her birth name.
I'm Sussex now.
I'm a Sussex now. It's like, it is... unbelievably bad.
That's not their last name, right? Like, that's just apparently their house.
I don't know. Apparently she took it. But, man, she is so desperate for whatever it is that she's looking for. And I was just hate watching it. And just like, you know, like, and she's made like a ladybug looking crustini. She's making, they're doing a kid's
I didn't know if he was
party.
Going Lady Bird.
That's what I thought too. Like some sort of Saoirse Ronan storyline here.
No, look, Shane, she's doing a gardening themed kids party where she's filling gift bags with seeds. Like all kids love planting stuff.
Oh yeah, no, kids love
stuff.
To garden.
So
the
look,
hell?
First of all, Shane and Tanny, you both should back off. And so should you, Speaks. I am not going to let you talk about one of the most famous White Sox fans in the world. I'm not going to let you do it.
Lawrence,
Do
you remember July 4th, 1776?
I do.
This famous day where we took our freedom back from those wood teeth bitches over there in England. We don't need to support the royal family or any offshoot of the royal family because we took what we get back from them. I don't need this. I don't need her. I don't need the cheating husband. I don't need the other bald one.
Nobody needs this. Absolutely nobody needs this. This will not make your life better in any way other than let you giggle for a moment. But it's like, if you're a duchess and you live comfortably in Montecito, you might have time to make a balloon arch for your child's birthday party.
All I know is that she has donned a White Sox cap before, and that makes her good with me.
She ever have an elote?
I bet she has.
She sucks in suits, by the way.
She's actually pretty good in suits, I think.
The show sucks.
I mean,
so wait, do you not like the show?
Both. The Royals, the show, anything involved with the Royals.
Suit's pretty good, man, and it's having a revival, although that spinoff that they did, a little rough.
Is this a spinoff of Suits? That would explain it.
No. Suits LA that's now out there.
What is it, CSI?
Yeah, they're trying it, and it just... Because, you know, the spinoff with Jessica was set here, but then COVID happened, and they just kind of shut it all down. But now everyone loves Suits.
Man.
And it's like, well, let's build another show with the guy from Arrow. And it's not really working. And it's like, oh, we went to college with Harvey. And that's like the tie-in. And it just hasn't popped.
I got you.
But I'm not going to besmirch. Who are you going to go after next? Obama? I'm not going to let you besmirch a White Sox fan when there's only like 8 of us. One of them used to be president, and one of them is the Duchess of Sussex.
I don't buy
it. And you shall call her by her name. Good day, sir.
She is not a real Sox fan. No chance in hell.
How dare you?
Let's
talk with Jason Leisure about the Bears next here on The Score.